Thank you, Pastor Jan. Will you give Pastor Butler a great round of applause? That's kind of weak, I thought. I said a great round of applause. I think you can do better than that. Sorry to correct you, like, even before I speak. I don't want to get on your bad side. But I love your pastors, Pastor Jan and Sue. We have known for years now. I was trying to recall. It's probably been close to 25 years since we've known one another. And by the way, my name's Nathaniel Wolf, and I live in New Orleans, Louisiana. I used to live here. And then I moved to another planet called New Orleans. It's completely different. I was raised in Montana and lived in the Northwest my whole life, here in the Seattle area about 21 years. So New Orleans was a real change for us, but it's been a good change. My wonderful wife of 30 years, Michelle Wolf, and our four children, my oldest is 26. And my wonderful son in love is what I call him, Christopher. They gave us a grandchild just a couple of months ago here, Wyatt Wolf. I love him. They actually gave him my last name instead of my son in law's. They on the birth certificate. So instead of it, my son in law's last name, which is Brian, it says Wyatt. His name is Wyatt Christopher Wolf. And he just captured my heart. So anyway, during that whole time that we were here in the Northwest, we've been in ministry now about 30 years. I preached my first sermon 30 years ago in Roundup, Montana at the Full Gospel Businessman's Dinner and Banquet. It was the first time I received an offering for preaching. I received a check for $25 from all those prosperous ranchers. But I didn't care. I thought it was the greatest offering, the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's still my favorite offering. I wish I would have framed the check instead of cashed it. But I needed the money so bad back then. But anyway, about 20 of those years were here under your pastor's leadership in this region. Many of you probably know this, but he's the Northwest Regional Director for RMAI, which is who we hold our ordination with. And just a special, special man. One of the finest teachers of the Bible that you've ever heard. Amen? Your pastor teaches a deep, deep word from the Word of God, and you're a well-fed church, I'm sure of that. Amen? So we're so grateful for you guys. So glad that you're with us in our hearts and honored by this opportunity to be here with you today. I didn't think Pastor Jan was going to ask me to come preach. I was just wanting to catch up with him. It had been a while. And as he said, we've been going all over preaching. We did about 200 services last year, which is about four a week. I was a senior pastor. We were in pastoral ministry for 26 years, and 21 years of that as a senior pastor. And about 2 years ago, God led us to launch out into this itinerant ministry, this traveling ministry we're doing now. And last year was a phenomenal year. Signs and wonders and healings and miracles, things that I've heard about, read about, but I'd never seen. Part of how it started was here in the Pacific Northwest. The Lord led us to come up and do a series of meetings called the Northwest Awakening. And that began in 2016, a month straight, every night. Except for Saturdays and Sundays, we would leave to the church. But we had the revival services Monday through Friday for a month. And then continued to return for, and have continued to return for three nights, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, for the last year and a half now. And have seen God, do things. The building shook, just like in Acts chapter 4. in one of the services. It says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the place where they were gathered together was shaken. And in one of the services, I was caught up in the Spirit. The things of the Spirit were more real to me than natural things. And something brought me back. And when I opened my eyes, I saw an angel walking in front of the pastor's wife. And people were looking all around. Two men ran out of the building because the building was shaking with the power of God. The reason that the two men ran out is because they were trying to see why the building was shaking. Maybe somebody had come. They have a valet parking driveway in front of their church main entrance. And one man said, "I thought somebody was out there with a jackhammer, but it was stronger than that. The sound people cut off all of the subwoofers because they thought that the subwoofers were feedbacking because it was vibrating in the building. It's coming up over here off from my left shoulder and down through the room." Whew. The holiness of God just filled the room. In one of the services we were there, the fragrance of roses filled the room. This happens so often now in the services, wherever we are, it's almost unusual to me if it doesn't happen. Not for the whole church, as it was that night, or it seemed the whole church. I smelled it so strong, I felt like I had put my head in a refrigeration unit. Like you go to the grocery store and they have the floral section there, and they have some refrigeration units with floral displays. And I felt like I had my head in one of those and it had nothing but roses in it, completely surrounding me. And so I asked the congregation, I said, I was preaching, I was trying to, kind of like this morning, trying to get started here, but these testimonies, I knew I'd be sharing some testimonies this morning, I just didn't think it would quite go this way, but amen, come Holy Spirit, do what you want. Whew, hallelujah. Anyway, I asked the church, I said, does anybody smell anything? Because I didn't want to lead the congregation. One of the things that I really have felt we need to do is move away from all of the hype and any efforts to induce mass hysteria or group hypnosis or try to get the crowd to react a certain way. And so I didn't want to lead the congregation, so I just said, well, do you smell anything? And almost every hand went up. If it wasn't every hand, it seemed like every hand. And I said, what do you smell? And they all yelled back at the same time, roses. And when they said that, I can't explain it. I don't know how fragrance can have holiness in it. But the fragrance was filled with the holiness of God. Hallelujah. And we were lost in what I call speechless adoration. Nobody talked. Nobody moved. No music. No prophetic utterances. No children making a sound. Nobody getting up and going to the bathroom for 30 minutes. Silence. You could have heard a pin drop. Just the holiness of God. Amen. Physical rain has been falling in the meetings. People leave the meeting sometimes with their clothes wet. I don't know what it is. I think it's the rain of the Holy Spirit, I suppose. But it's physical, like rain. In one of the services, they have an enclosed drum cage. In one of the services, and the drummer, I looked back and was watching him play the drums, and I saw every time he hit the snare drum, water splashing up about a foot. And I thought, what's that water? in the drum cage. I think surely it's not sweat. Nobody could sweat that much, I thought. And so after the service, he testified, and he wasn't the only one. This happened to several on the platform that night. But the drum cage has a lid on it, just like yours. And he said rain began to fall in the drum cage. And he said my snare drum filled up almost all the way to the rim with water. About halfway, I guess, three quarters of the way, if I remember right now. Not almost all the way, but half to three quarters. He says about an inch to an inch and a half rim on his snare drum. And it was about half. And his drums tilted. And he said what was interesting about the water, about a half inch or so, I guess, maybe three quarters of an inch. He said it didn't puddle at the bottom. It stayed even all the way across the drum. And broke the laws of Newtonian physics and the law of gravity. And that night the bass player had water raining only on his hand. Just right above his hand, rain began to fall, and it fell so much that he said it began to drip off his elbow, water running down his arm. The rain of the Spirit of God. One service, we had a man that was a gunnery sergeant in the Marine Corps. Tough man. Weeping, 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 weeping. And his wife looked over and thought, this is God, he never cries. And then she noticed that his hair was wet and that his shoulders of his shirt were wet. And she thought, how can that be? He'd be crying so much that his hair would be wet and his shoulders on his shirt. And then she looked up and she saw rain falling, appearing right above his head, about a foot above his head, and falling on him. And she said, rain's falling on you. He said, I know, that's why I'm weeping. Never felt anything like this before. I've done about 9 trips to Alaska in the last year and a half. There's a tremendous revival in Alaska that's now just really, I guess, in its initial ignitions in Fairbanks. And we've seen so many miracles. And just a couple of months ago when we were up there, there was a word of knowledge, which is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit, where the recipient knows certain facts in the mind of God. It's a piece of God's omniscience. God knows everything. And God reveals a piece of what he knows. But it's not information. It's a manifestation of a person. It's a manifestation of the Spirit, where the recipient knows certain facts. So it's not just information, it's God in our midst. And the word of knowledge that came was that there was someone there that had tumors in their chest or growths in their chest. And as we often do with words of knowledge, we'll ask people to raise their hand if it applies to them, or to stand, or in some way acknowledge it. And he was already in the front. This is one of the things that we're seeing in the services, people, the altar is just filling. The front of the church is filling with people seeking God. Hallelujah. Whew, I feel the presence of the Lord. Anyway, he was already in the front, so I didn't see his hand at first. And he was waving his hand, and so I went over and I laid my hand on him and did what we're going to teach tonight, I think. If the Holy Spirit gives us utterance, I want to teach on 5 steps to ministering healing. And I laid my hand on him and I just said, Holy Spirit, I ask that you come with healing. And then I just listened for what the Father was saying or what he might show to do. And he just gave me some simple declaration of faith. I don't remember what it was, but I said, I command these tumors to shrivel up and to die or to leave this person's body. I don't remember what I said. And he started to cough. And at first it was just a little cough and then it was stronger. I thought, man, this guy needs healing for a cold. And then it got really strong, and I thought maybe it was a demonic manifestation, which is another thing we see almost everywhere we go now. The glory of the Lord gets so strong in the services that people that need, perhaps they're oppressed or they need freedom somehow, well, often the enemy gets smoked out. I like to say if you spot them, you got them when it comes to the demonic. So we don't allow the person to lose their dignity. I believe that's a ploy of the enemy. We minister very compassionately and subdue the manifestation so that we can contact the person and lead them into repentance and close all the doors that may have allowed the enemy to gain access to their life. And so I thought, well, maybe he's manifesting because it was so violent. And then he coughed up a tumor onto the floor. I'd never seen that. I read about that. We've seen many healed of tumors and growths of all kinds, cysts, tumors, bone spurs, calcium deposits, all kinds of things. One woman in a service had a bump on the side of her leg because her leg had been broken in a motorcycle accident when she was 16. And the leg was about an inch and a half or 2 inches shorter, and her leg just grew right out. And the bones that were layered, because they couldn't set it because it was such a bad fracture, so they layered it. The bones just went whoosh like that, and her leg grew out right in front of us. So we've seen all kinds of things, but I'd never, with relationship to growths and bumps and tumors and cysts, but I'd never seen anyone cough one out. I've read about it, never seen it. And so I thought, well, what do I do, Lord? And he said, lay hands on him again and say the same thing. And again, I don't remember what I said, so I just laid hands on him again and said the same thing. And he started coughing again. He coughed up another tumor. And then I said, Lord, what do I do now? And he said, have the prayer team come around him. I want to do it through them. And have them gain confidence in my power. So the prayer team, I said, some of you that are on the prayer team, come. So then they came around him and laid hands on him. And then he coughed up a third one. And then I said, Lord, what I do? He said, just walk away now and let them handle the rest of it. And so I walked away. And while I wasn't there, they kept praying for him. And he coughed up a fourth one onto the floor. Amen. I saw him. I wanted to take pictures of him. But I couldn't. It was I couldn't bring myself to do it for whatever reason. They weren't nice to look at. But the pastor of the church witnessed it, and a pastor that will be here tonight, who's hosting the Northwest Awakening meetings up in Linwood, where we come every month, he'll be here tonight. He witnessed it. He saw it. Amen. We're seeing the Lord do fabulous things. I see Susan here. A couple of months ago, she brought a friend into one of the services. Tonight, I'm going to tell a story, if the Holy Spirit permits, and gives me utterance, about our first blind person that we saw healed. And I'm going to use that to illustrate these five steps to ministering. Because the steps are so simple. It's a non-method method. That's why I like it. I don't believe in methods. I believe in relationship. But what it is it's a method of engaging the Holy Spirit in relationship and in engaging the person that you're ministering to in relationship. And that in the context then of a wholesome relationship, the supernatural occurs. All of the supernatural occurs in the context of wholesome relationships. All of it. It all comes out of the Godhead. That's the ultimate relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And everything Jesus did, he did out of relationship with the Father. Everything we're supposed to do out of relationship with Jesus. It's really him doing the works. That's why in John 14:12 there, he didn't say you do works instead of mine. He said you do the works that I do. And even greater works than these will I show you. At one point he said, and you're going to do the greater ones But if you read it in the Greek, literally what it says is the greater ones that he does. In other words, it's his works and the greater ones that he's doing. We're just working with him while he works. It's his works. Just like the Father worked in him, Jesus is working in us. Amen. So it all comes out of relationship, not out of formulas. But I like the method because it's a non-method method. It's just a way of engaging God in relationship and the person that you're ministering to. And so, anyway, we saw a blind man healed in our first one. And Susan, she brought a friend that was 46 years old into the service, if I remember right. Is that right? 46. She'd been born without irises in her eyes. The iris is the part of your eye that has color on it. And it opens and closes to light. And where your my iris and pupil would be, she just had kind of a gray, silver gray colored spot. And it wasn't even perfectly round. She lived most of her life with her eyes closed because of the light, the bright light caused her pain. She had 20/200 vision. In essence, she was legally blind, not completely blind, but what looked to you and me like 200 or 20 feet to her looks like 200 feet. And she came forward and the Holy Spirit said, minister to her. We like to train others and have others involved. So I'm not always the one ministering. Some of the greatest miracles we've seen have actually been through God using somebody other than me, that's the goal, or part of the goal. The ultimate goal is that Jesus is glorified. But we've put too much emphasis on the platform. We've not seen that the platform is there to help us see what's possible. And I do believe in special anointings. But again, I believe that those are to help break us all through into newer realms of victory. Higher realms of victory. And not to be the sole depository of God's power. Amen. So anyway, but the Lord said, I want you to minister to her. So I went up to her and I laid my hand on her and it jumped out of my mouth. It was the gift of faith, I know now. I said, in the name of Jesus, Lord, give her blue eyes. It just popped out. And then I actually physically, my mind protested. And I physically stepped away, pulled my hands off of her and I said, I'm so sorry. See, I made the mistake of thinking about what I was doing, I guess. But I said, I'm so sorry. And she said, why? I said, well, I should have asked you what color eyes you want. You might want brown eyes. You might want green eyes. She said, no, blue would have been the choice. And when she said it, and Susan is my witness, she was standing right there. It looked like somebody took her. Stand up, Susan, so people can see you. It looked like somebody took a, thank you, like somebody took their finger and drew a blue circle right on that silver place where the silver, gray silver spot was, and an iris appeared, a blue eye, and then her pupil showed. We saw her pupil come into it. And then we started testing. That was in her left eye, and that was all that happened that night. We started testing her vision. Her vision improved. And then Susan sent me an inbox on Facebook the next day and said that this gal woke up the next morning with two perfect blue eyes. Come on, yay, Jesus. So what I was going to preach on this morning would have demonstrated that really revival's here, at least the possibility of revival. And I think that many of us now are stepping into that room. We're through the door. Not far past it, but some. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I had some things I was supposed to talk about, our website and our resources and everything, but I feel to pray and just move right in to the rest of the message Maybe I'll talk about that before Pastor comes and closes his service. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come. Even more, I sense your presence here in this place. I think you want to do something special here tonight, today, because you spoke to my heart, Acts 4, where they prayed, "Now, Lord, behold their threats and stretch forth your hand to heal and to perform signs and wonders in the name of your holy child, Jesus." And we live in an age where there's so much threat to the gospel. And so, Lord, we ask that you would behold the threat of this age and the spirit of this age, and that you would help us to confront the spirit of this age and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask that you would stretch forth your hand today and tonight in these services with healing and signs. Signs. That's what those fragrances are. That wind. We'll see wind blow through the meetings physically. That wind, the rain, all these things, they're signs of the kingdom, of the nearness of our King, and of the nearness of his coming. We ask that you'd stretch forth your hands in wonders, that you would do things that would just make us wonder. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mark chapter 1, why don't you turn over there with me if you would today, please. Mark chapter 1. This morning, what I'd like to minister on, in some ways I already have been, is heralding the kingdom, demonstrating the kingdom, and then move over and do this these five steps of ministering to the sick, or five steps of ministering healing. Mark chapter 1 in the 14th verse, it says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." I'd like to kind of take a look at each of these words as time permits this morning. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, unpack some of the meaning that's there. It says, first of all, that Jesus came preaching. That word preaching, according to Webster's 1828 edition of the Dictionary of the English Language, means to be a herald. To be a herald. In fact, the BLB lexicon says that too. To herald, or to be a herald. To proclaim. And one definition, in fact, this is Noah Webster's definition of proclaim, to announce and give official notice. So that's what a herald does. A herald announces and gives official notice. Now, one of the things that I hope that we'll see either today or tonight or perhaps both is that the responsibility of being a herald of the kingdom is not just on Jesus. And it's not just on his disciples or on the 12 disciples. And it's not just on preachers or pulpit ministers, equipping ministries, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. But the responsibility of heralding the kingdom is upon all of us. It's really a joy more than it is a responsibility or duty. It is a responsibility, but it's a joyful responsibility to be a herald of the kingdom. But one of the things that I like about this word is it helps take the pressure off of the one making the announcement. Because what happens when we herald the kingdom of God, when we pronounce the good news of the kingdom, is that the Holy Spirit enacts the pronouncement. And the pressure for the performance of the announcement is not on the herald. As we hopefully will see in Scripture, and as this unfolds today, we can see that the pressure for the performance of what's announced is on the Holy Spirit. He enacts the announcement of the kingdom. And another thing I like about this is that it doesn't require eloquence or elocution. You're simply announcing the news. Do you remember in high school when they'd come and make announcements over the PA system? How many of you remember that? Now, it maybe was more entertaining if the person, usually they had students doing it. At least when I was in high school, they'd allow a student to do it. It was usually, you know, maybe a little more entertaining if the student, I don't know, put some of their personality into the announcement, or, you know, maybe added a little spice, a little flavor. But it didn't make the announcement any less credible or any more credible. It didn't add or take any weight to or from the announcement. The announcement came from somebody other than the announcer. You know, the announcement came from administration. All they had to do was announce what was on the paper. That's all they had to do. Now, they didn't have to. If they wanted to kind of, you know, spice it up a little, they could, but they didn't have to. And the fulfillment of the announcement really had nothing to do with them either. I mean, if they announced that there was going to be a dance that Saturday or that Friday or whatever, them announcing it didn't make the dance happen or not happen. They were just telling everybody what was going on. And so this should be good news to you, because it can take pressure off of you. That the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, didn't originate with you. You're not the origin of it. You're not the author of it. It came down from administration. It came down from a higher government, from a higher place, from a higher realm. And all you have to do is herald it. Announce it. Give official notice. Amen. And then the responsibility for the performance of it is on the same place that the announcement came from to begin with. Amen. And the Holy Spirit enacts the announcement. Even Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the power of the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come among you. One translation says, has come upon you. And Jesus even acknowledged that the enacting of the kingdom was due to the power of the Holy Spirit. Even in the life and ministry of Jesus, he didn't say, yeah, when I cast out demons, that's because I'm so smart, or because I went to the right Bible college or whatever. He said, if I cast out demons by the power of the Spirit of God. See, it's the Holy Spirit who comes and makes Jesus real in our midst. That's all we have to do is come and announce the gospel of the kingdom. And the Holy Spirit comes and He enacts what's announced. Amen. There's a couple of other meanings in this word that I think are pretty profound. One of them is that in this announcing, there is a challenge to battle. Because in the announcement that we make, we are announcing the rule of Jesus. The rule of the King. The rule of heaven. And that wouldn't be a problem if we didn't live in a world that was under the sway of the God of this world. Little g. Not capital G, God. But little g, the God of this world. This whole world system is governed by the demonic. And so when we come and we announce Jesus is in charge, it's on. Come on, are you here? But see, this is another thing that's so beautiful about the announcement of the kingdom. In that the Holy Spirit enacts it. What happens is the Holy Spirit comes, and by His sheer weight, volume, and glory, He displaces the dominion of darkness. So we come and we announce the dominion of Jesus, the dominion of heaven, the dominion of love, the dominion of the goodness of God. And it challenges the powers of darkness. It unseats spiritual powers in the spiritual realm, because the Holy Spirit comes in that announcement, and in His sheer weight, volume, and glory, He begins to displace the dominion of darkness. He displaces disease. He displaces depression. He displaces demonization. It's like a 300-pound man getting into a 100-pound bathtub. Are you here? And that water is displaced. When we were pastoring for years, we'd do water baptism, and we had a portable baptistry, and it never failed. There was always one man getting baptized that was bigger than the tank or the water. And it doesn't matter. My shoes were getting wet every time. Every time, because I would stand outside of this portable baptistry, and there'd always be somebody that would displace the water. This is what happens when we come and just simply announce the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. And then one final nuance here is that this term, herald, I've been telling you the noun definition, but the verb here literally means that you become the sign itself. So you become a harbinger, so to speak. You become one translation of this, that you become an omen or a harbinger, not of bad things, but of good things to come. That when we begin to announce the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, in the enactment of that gospel of the kingdom by the person and power of the Holy Spirit in our midst, somehow God will cause us to be a sign of that kingdom. Amen. I mean, you start becoming a sign and a wonder. And Paul talked about that. He said, my speech and my preaching were not with eloquent words of a mere man's wisdom. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. But in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. Amen. So what is the gospel of the kingdom? Well, it's fourfold. Thankfully, Scripture tells us what the gospel of the kingdom is. He says, and Jesus came preaching or heralding the gospel of the kingdom, saying, and the 15th verse tells us the fourfold announcement that we're supposed to go everywhere and announce. And eventually, in our announcing, we even become a personification of that announcement. Part one, he says, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. You see, when Jesus came, He inaugurated a messianic age. and a now part of the kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is both now and not yet. There are parts of the kingdom that are for now, and there are parts of the kingdom that are for not yet. And faith is the wisdom we need to live in between the now and the not yet. And we know that when Jesus comes, all evil will be eradicated from this earth in his second advent. That's not happened yet. And yet, the now part of the kingdom says that we're to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and throw out demons. And that's a now part of the kingdom. And Jesus comes and he announces that. No more waiting for the kingdom. The time is fulfilled. In essence, what the time is fulfilled means, I just like saying it this way, time's up. No more waiting. Time's up. Have you ever been to the DMV? They give you a number. Isn't it wonderful when your number gets called? Time's up. No more waiting for healing. No more waiting for being cleansed from leprosy. No more waiting from seeing the miraculous in our midst. No more waiting for having authority over the powers of darkness. No more waiting. Time's up. Now is your appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. Today is the appointed time. Look at your neighbor, say, today's your appointed time. Then the second part of the gospel of the kingdom is he says the kingdom of God is at hand. And we got to look at two things in that. First of all, what the word kingdom means, and then what at hand means. There's so much, I think, word parsing around the kingdom that's confusing. The kingdom is really quite simple. Number one, you can't have a kingdom without a king. So the first thing that the kingdom is the person and the presence of a king. Wherever the king is, that's where the kingdom's at. Now, Strong's Expository Dictionary and Lexicon of New Testament Greek Words goes on and says that this word for kingdom also means the nature of a king. And this is very important because you can have a king in a kingdom that's a mean king. What kind of a kingdom are you going to have? A mean kingdom. So it cannot be just the person and presence of a king, but what kind of king is it? Because what kind of king it is determines the nature of the kingdom. And we'll see in just moments that our kingdom is a kingdom of love because our king is a loving king. And then also, if you have the person of a king, you have the will of a king. Can't have a kingdom without a king. If there's a king, there's going to be a nature to the king. The king's going to have a will. Then also with that is the authority of the king. And authority always comes back to character. A lack of character undermines authority. And Jesus has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. If he's been given all of it, that means somebody has none. The devil doesn't have authority unless he steals it from us. He has power, but he's not authorized unless he steals it from the church. The will of the king, the rule, the authority of the king, the power of the king. There has to be power to back up that authority. And then the domain or the place that all of that creates, that's the kingdom. And Jesus said this, the kingdom of God, all that that I just described, the person of the king, the presence of the king, the nature of the king, the will of the king, the authority of the king, the power of the king, and the environment that all of that creates is at hand. Now here's what at hand means. It's an old King James term, old Elizabethan English. It means as close as your hands. See, you're close to me, but you're not at hand because I can't touch you. This is at hand, right here. One of the meanings is accessible. Another meaning is actively present. That's one of my favorites, actively present. So what we do is we go out and we tell people, hey, no more waiting for your life to get better. No more waiting. I've got good news for you, for your healing. No more waiting for freedom. No more waiting for peace. No more waiting for joy. Because the king and his nature and his will and his authority and his power are so close, we can reach out and take it. And it's so close it can reach out and take us. And then the third and fourth part of that gospel of the kingdom is repent and believe. That's our response. Oh, I wish I had time to get into that today. I've been preaching repentance almost everywhere I go. It's a beautiful thing, repentance. It's a beautiful thing. It's a lifestyle. It's not something you did just once. My wife says this, repentance is like cleaning your toilet. You can't do it just one time. Why? Because you use it. Really, what repentance is, it's the replacing of your mind with the mind of Christ. How many of you know there are some areas where we still need the mind of Christ? It's like brushing your teeth. You can't just do it once. You've got to keep up with it. Amen. And believe. Believe is the expression of faith. Faith's not a formula either. It's a living trust. It's a living trust oneness relationship with God. And believing is the throwing of our entire self on Him. I'm getting drunk in the Holy Spirit. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. That's our response to the time being fulfilled and the kingdom being at hand. We repent. We believe. Amen. That's what we do. That's how we respond. One man, he summed it up this way. That response can be put into three words. Sorry, please, and thank you. I call those the three passwords of the kingdom. Have you ever had to log on to a site, a website, or log into something that you put a password on to protect it with your computer or your phone? You got to put the right password in to get access. There's three passwords that'll always get you access to the kingdom realm. Sorry, please, and thank you. Doesn't the scripture say we come into his gates with? That's thank you. Amen. Please is just nothing more than I receive. It's the receiving part of faith. Sorry is when we realize there's a better way. And we acknowledge it. And God grants us the grace through a hidden influence in our hearts called repentance, to turn from it and receive His mind on the matter. Amen. 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 Now, you don't have to do the repenting and the believing. That's the part of the people that are hearing the announcement. All you have to do is show up and make that fourfold announcement. Time's up. The King and His kingdom are accessible to you. Now change and throw the whole of yourself on God. And when you tell that, when you talk that, God will show up. He'll get in the bathtub. Amen. Did you enjoy that this morning? Amen. Well, I'm about 5 minutes over my time, so I'm not going to be a bad guest. I'm going to be a good guest. But we do have a table out back. Got our first and newest resource called Creating a Heavenly Mindset back there. If you'd like to partner with our ministry, there's some envelopes back there that give you some information about our website. We have an app. Please get it. It's on the Apple iTunes Store, on Google Play if you have an Android phone. All of our podcasts, we do a weekly free teaching. It's gone into 30 nations now and 47 states of the United States. I'm blessed by that. And you can get it in the app. You can get it on our website. It's no strings attached. Every week we put it out. One just came up today. God's doing marvelous things. I believe He's going to do marvelous things tonight. Amen. If I were you, I'd come expecting. And we'll flow with the Holy Spirit perhaps after this. But I need to turn it back to Pastor for the close of the service. Will you give Pastor a good round of applause?